Well, we all get gifts at this time of year. I shouldn't say we all. I'm pretty sure just about everybody gets gifts this time of year, and we're grateful for them almost no matter what. But as I was mentioning to the children, we occasionally get gifts. Well, they don't necessarily fit. It happens. It's easy to forget that people grow. The difference between me at 12 and me at 15, for example, was quite substantial. Difference between me at 28 and 35 was substantial too, but it was substantial in a different kind of way as I achieved my adult metabolism and didn't realize for a number of years that I couldn't continue to eat like I was 15 without something happening. We change size, we get things that don't really fit, we get things that we don't really know what to do with or don't match our desires, and it's not because anybody is not caring, it's just sometimes we simply don't know. I'm sure I've told you the story before about Heather's sister. She's a travel agent, and when she was working in Yellowknife, which is a great place to be a travel agent, for her clients that she knew well, she would ask them if it was convenient to bring back a little something for her little sister. And so one Christmas, Heather and I got a laundry basket overflowing with these little somethings. There was coffee, there was tea, there were these different kinds of infused honeys. They were wonderful. And then there were a number of things that we had no idea what they were. Food products, we were pretty sure. They came in what looked like toothpaste tubes, and call us cowards, we never really found out what was in them because we weren't about to open them just in case. Well, the gifts in and of themselves didn't really do much for us, even though the giver had certainly demonstrated a kind of care that was very much appreciated. But this year and this Sunday, we're going to talk about gifts that fit everyone. And I find it fascinating that our Old Testament lesson has Hannah making Samuel a new robe every year to make sure that he always has one that fits. Fitting is nice. But to get a gift that's going to fit everyone, I think we probably have to stay away from clothing. Nothing else. Tastes are so different these days that you never know what you're going to do, and there's no way you could give a single garment, I think, to everybody that everyone would approve of. So we're going to talk about those less tangible gifts that we get at this year, or at this time of the year. And we're going to our Colossians reading for that. Where Paul, writing to the people of Colossae, says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves." I love that. It works out so well. Clothing, it's something that we all do. We know what it means. It means to put something on. And hopefully something that, well, that fits. It's always a challenge, of course, when you get a garment that doesn't fit. Either it doesn't fit physically or doesn't fit who you are in any particular way. And the person is right there and you have to put it on anyway. Putting on a sweater that would probably fit one of your legs, trying to get it over your body, is a bit of a challenge that some of us have gone through, I'm sure, because we don't want to offend the person or whatever it might be. We don't have to worry about what we're clothing ourselves with this Sunday. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what we're clothing ourselves with. And we need to think carefully about this. For a couple of reasons, not least of which is we need to remember that these are things that everybody has to a certain measure already. There's this pernicious bit of nonsense that you see in some churches that will suggest that people who haven't moved into a relationship with God through Jesus never do anything good. And that's just crazy. All kinds of people who quite clearly and intentionally do not identify themselves as followers of Jesus or believers in God at all exercise compassion and kindness and gentleness, especially at this time of the year. You see all kinds of people at this time of the year doing things that fit nicely into this list that they don't the rest of the year. There's something about Christmas, whether you believe in it or not. So Paul isn't talking about just what makes us human, that ability to empathize at least to a certain extent. He's talking about something a little bit more. And he's reminding us, perhaps not explicitly in this passage, but when we read Paul overall and when we put Paul in the context of the New Testament and we put all of that into the context of Scripture, what we see is that those of us who have moved into this relationship with God through Jesus, who identify ourselves as Christians, as God followers, in some ways it's easier for us to demonstrate compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's not easy, because there are some people, it's not easy for me. I don't want to speak for you, but there are some people in my life that is hard to be patient with. But why would we have something special, or why would we find that easier, or why would we find this more compelling than just the normal milk of human kindness, as it used to be called long ago? Well, it's because we've seen this modeled in a way that other people haven't. Anyone who's worked with troubled youth, or for that matter, with people who had a difficult upbringing, an abusive upbringing, know how hard it is for those people to express love. And one of the reasons why it's so hard is because they've never seen it. If you've grown up in a home where you don't know how to say I love you because nobody ever said I love you to you, is it surprising that that's difficult for you? Of course not. And it doesn't mean that you don't have those human emotions of love and compassion and care for others. It means you don't know what to do with them. And those of us who were so blessed to grow up in a loving home know how to do this, not because we are special, but because the people around us were special. And we saw our parents or our grandparents, our extended family, our siblings, whatever it might be, expressing love and compassion and gentleness and being patient with each other and with us. And so all of that is a shadow almost of what we see when we understand what Jesus did for us. At this time of the year, when we celebrate Jesus coming to earth, there's so much in there. But one of the things that's absolutely unmistakable is that Jesus came to become a person, a human being just like us, not because of any external compulsion. Jesus cannot be compelled, but because he loved us. That Jesus, in the mystery of the Incarnation, gave up some of the prerogatives of divinity to become like us. So we would always know, as the writer of Hebrews says in so many different ways, that we would always know that God understands us from the inside. That God knows what it is to live through the frustration of learning how to walk, of learning your multiplication tables, of learning how to say I love you, learning how to say thank you, learning how to be patient. All of these things that Jesus learned just like we did, he didn't have to come and learn those. The mystery of the Incarnation is one that we'll never fully understand. That's why we call it a mystery. But there are different aspects of it that strike us at different times. And one of the ones that strikes me at this time of year is that God, who knows all, chose to come and learn in a new way what he already knew, except he didn't know it as a person. And that's where the mystery gets us all balled up like a cat with a bunch of yarn. And we may not be able to make a lot of definitive statements about it, but what we can say is that Jesus did this because he loves us. So when Paul is telling the church in Colossae and telling the Colossians, and then telling us, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The backdrop to that is just as you've seen from Christ. Even if we didn't have the greatest growing up years, and many of us had things that we wish wouldn't have happened. Some of them our parents wish wouldn't have happened either. Even those of us who had to struggle to learn any of these five things that Paul lists here, and that's not an exhaustive list, it's an illustration of the things we should do, but even those of us who had to learn how to do those, we can see them in Jesus. And when we understand what Christ has done for us, it makes it easier to do it for others. In the same way that it's easier to say I love you to someone if someone has said it to you, it's the same thing. And that's the gift that we've been given, and that's the gift that fits us all. The ability to do these things, to clothe ourselves with these, is something that's given to all of us. It doesn't look exactly the same in each of us. We all express these things in different ways. But Paul is saying these are things that we need to take upon ourselves. Because a gift doesn't do you any good if you don't open it, if you don't accept it. Some of those things that Diane's friends brought for Heather were kind of wasted on us because we didn't know what they were. We didn't know how to use them. And I'm sure each of us has had that experience at least once of realizing that a gift we've given to someone has never been taken out of the box because it's too precious or it's too special or it's too something. We don't even know why. We say, look, I gave you that so you could use it, so you could take it out and put it on or play with it or whatever it was. Because that's what we do with gifts. If someone gives you a box of chocolates, you open it up and you eat them. That's the purpose of a box of chocolates. It's not to be left on your mantle to gather dust or, well, that's what happened in our house. If you dust, to not gather dust. You have to take the gift. If somebody gives you a sweater, you have to put it on. And God, who has given us these gifts and has given us an example of what they look like, says, clothe yourselves with these. Here they are, but you have to put them on. And when you've put them on, remember that over all these virtues, we put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Paul is telling us that we have these things that we can put on. We don't have to. I mean, he's saying we should, but we don't have to. There's no obligation in here that's inescapable that says we have to be patient. We can be impatient. We can be arrogant and prideful. We can be unkind. Paul is saying, and at this time of year, the lectionary committee has looked at these texts and said, these are the things to think about at Christmas. We put these on because they're gifts given to us that then become gifts to everyone around us. Gifts that fit everyone, not just us, but the people that we then extend them to as gifts as well. But we have to put them on. We have to clothe ourselves in these things. Well, we won't do it with perfection. You notice that little bit he parks in the middle, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. We're not called to perfection, or we're not called immediately to perfection, to keep John Wesley happy. It's something we work towards. And we work towards it by taking these gifts that have been given to us, looking at them with the backdrop of Christ's perfection in these things and saying, as Christ has loved me, I can love you. As Christ has been patient with me, and he has, I can be patient with you. And I can look at these things not as obligations, but as gifts. As the opportunity for me to take these virtues, to put them on like I put on a suit jacket, to cover them all with love, binds them all together and be really grateful that these gifts fit not just the special people, that these gifts don't just fit the saints. These gifts fit us all. Amen.